end at 7:30 tonight, and the plan is to have just a brief period of prayer from about 7:30 to 7:45, when our class would normally end, and spend that time praying for Mission Sunday, which is this Sunday, obviously. So just be aware, you'll be hearing a first bell around 7:25 and two bells at 7:30. That's not intended to test my patience, although it may do that anyway. But Buzz isn't trying to pull my leg or anything when he does it. He's that is intentional. I want us to go back and try to look again just briefly as way of review, and then spend a little more time talking about tonight what we introduced last week. Last week we talked about how the providence of God works in evangelism, in our efforts to go out and teach people the gospel, and it's not only working on our side of evangelistic efforts, but the providence of God is also working for those who are looking for the truth. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight specifically, is this idea that God's providence is being exercised today when one who is lost desires to find the truth. And I want us to deal with this and maybe go a little bit slower in some of those last few slides, but these first few slides are just way of reminder of what we talked about last week. For those who were here last week, you'll recognize these. But just as a way of reminder of where we've been, we saw last week that through the providence of God, He opens doors of opportunity for the gospel to be preached. We see that a lot in the writings of Paul. He talks about doors being opened, and he walks through those doors in order that the gospel might be preached in a certain place. That's the providence of God. You know, it's hard sometimes for us to put our finger on where God's providence works, but when Paul says, "Here I am in Ephesus, and a door has been opened unto me," is what he writes to the church at Corinth, "The door has been opened unto me." Who opened the door? Paul didn't do it. It was the gospel of Christ. It was God who was opening doors for that gospel to be preached. At the same time, through the providence of God, He was opening the hearts of men to obey the gospel. And obviously, it's the gospel that calls men to obedience. Obviously, it's the gospel that pricked the people's hearts in Acts chapter 2. But God is also working in people's lives so that they will want to find the truth. Again, you go back to how we have defined providence from the beginning of the class, and that is that God has an intended purpose for His creation. He's got an intended purpose for us, for all of humankind, and He's working behind the scenes to help bring about that purpose. Doesn't mean that our free will cannot act and disregard the efforts of God to bring the gospel into people's lives. But God is trying and working in order that mankind might be saved, because that's what God wants. We're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. Through providence, God gets the gospel to those who want to obey Him. God works, and we don't know how, but He works and arranges circumstances, so if somebody wants to find the truth, they can find the truth. That's what Jesus says in John 7:17, isn't it? If any man wills, I think it's King James says, if any man wills. New King James says, if anybody wants to know the truth. Somebody wants to know the truth, what does Jesus say? He's going to know it. How is He going to know it? He's going to wake up someday and say, "Hey, I know something today I didn't know yesterday." How's he going to know the doctrine? What does the word doctrine mean? What is doctrine? Teaching. How's he going to know the teaching? Somebody's going to teach him the gospel. If somebody wants to know the will of God, if that's their heart's desire, Jesus says, doesn't He? That He's going to know the doctrine. He's going to know the teaching. Not by some miraculous implantation of the word into His mind. But God's going to find a way for the gospel to be taught to him. Have you ever known of circumstances where that happened? You know, we use the word coincidence. You know, what a coincidence. You know, so-and-so met so-and-so. What a great coincidence. I hate that word when it comes to the providence of God, because there, you know, it's not a coincidence. And it's not luck. It's not, boy, that's a fortunate. It's the providence of God. If someone who is seeking the truth ends up finding and meeting somebody who's either a follower or a teacher of the truth, is that just accidental that they tripped and found them? I mean, we can look around this auditorium. We can look around at people in this congregation where we think about the circumstances that were involved in them coming to know the truth. And while, again, it's hard for us to put our finger on something to say there's the providence of God, it's hard for us sometimes to say that that could have happened any way other than God working those circumstances out. And so through His providence, God is going to get the gospel to those who want to obey Him, and we're going to develop this more in just a minute. Here's the question we asked last week, and it's as Richard said, it's a loaded question, and it's intended to be a loaded question initially. Does God hear a sinner's prayer? Here's the problem we have with the question. It can mean a lot of things, depending on who you're talking to. And or who's doing the talking. Obviously, it's taught today, and hopefully we're going to have time to get to this at the very end. Obviously, it's taught today in denominational circles that man can say or pray a sinner's prayer and be saved by means of that prayer. Obviously, you pick up your New Testament, and that's not how the New Testament teaches that man can be saved. So we know that those are not God's conditions of pardon for man to have his sins forgiven. It's not going to happen by means of a man praying, God, please forgive me of my sins. So we know that that's not the case. But does it mean then, if God doesn't save by means of prayer, that He doesn't even hear someone when they pray? Consider some of these questions. Does God ever hear a non-Christian's prayer? Or does He never hear a non-Christian's prayer? Is God aware or unaware of a non-Christian's existence? Does God know that he's alive? Does He know his heart? Does He know his desires? As God looks at him, does He know the needs that that man has? If a non-Christian was really searching for the truth, you think God would know about it? You think God would care about it? You think God would do anything about it? These are questions. These are your opinions that you are expressing at this point, and I want us to look at the Scripture. But as you think about these things, if somebody's looking for truth. Is God, they're non-Christian, their sins are separating them from God. Would God not know that that sinner is really looking for truth at that point in their life? And would He care about it? Would He do anything about it? That's what I want us to look at in these next several slides. Here's what we looked at last week. Laying some groundwork again. In the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that the Lord is far from the wicked and that He is against those who do evil. Is that true? If you say it's false, then you can go and deal with God on these passages. That's what the Bible teaches, is that He is far from the wicked. He is against those who do evil. All right? Well, that's one point we need to see. Number two, the Bible teaches, Old Testament, the Lord will not hear His own people if they sin against Him and rebel. Is that true? Well, that's what these passages teach. Here's God's own people in the Old Testament. David says, if I regard or cherish iniquity in my heart, guess what? God's not going to hear me. That's what Moses told the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. You wouldn't listen, so guess what? God would not listen to your voice. That's what Isaiah told the children of Israel. Even though you make many prayers, God says, I'm not going to hear you because of the rebellion that's in your heart. And in the Bible, there's several other passages up here. The passage we know in Isaiah 59 that talks about your sins have hidden His face from you is directed to God's people. That their actions had caused these consequences. So God is far from the wicked and His face is against those who do evil. Even His own people, He's not going to hear their prayer if they are rebellious and full of sin. So here's this principle stated simply. If you won't hear God, God won't hear you. Whoever you are, if you've turned your back away from God and you've given your heart to wickedness, to evil, and if even as one of God's children, if you have rebelled against Him and won't hear God, these passages teach God's not going to hear you. Now, it's an interesting question. What exactly does that mean? If I'm a child of God, think about this. If I'm a child of God and I turn against God, I turn away from God, and I live a period of my life where I've got my back turned against God, I'm sinning and I'm rebelling against God, and one day I decide I need to get back to God, I need to turn my life back to God, at what point will God hear my prayers? He doesn't hear those who rebel against. At what point, even as His own child, is God going to hear my prayer? That word "hear" is interesting. We're going to talk about it again in a minute. What if you really want to hear God? Well, I think then God's probably going to want to hear you. And I think it's based at the very most. We've got to get to my last two slides in a second. At the very most, I think this uninspired man in John chapter 9 may have been thinking about some of these, at the very most, I say, he may have been thinking about some of these Old Testament principles when this uninspired man says in John chapter 9, we know that God does not hear sinners. Maybe he was thinking about those passages. Or maybe he was thinking about what the scribes had taught him. He says, we know. What's that based upon? Where was he coming up with this "we know"? Who's the "we"? How do they know it? Where does it come from? And how much should we base our own teaching, our own understanding, our own doctrine on what an uninspired man says in John chapter 9? And does what he said, we know that God doesn't hear sinners, how does that fit in the scope of the rest of the Bible teachings? What sinners is he talking about? All sinners? Any sinners? Was he speaking for God? Are these his teachings or God's teachings? When you think about those Old Testament passages that we had up here and that we looked at last week, all of them are talking about individuals or nations that were either practicing sin or were in open rebellion against God. And when you're in those situations, the Bible says God's not going to hear you. Keep some of these things in mind. I want us to get to some of these points at the end. Is it completely outside of the realm of scriptural possibility that God could hear a non-Christian's prayer? Now remember, I mean, Jesus says, how are we supposed to start our prayers according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9? Our Father. Well, can a non-Christian say that? God's not their Father. Sure. That is a model prayer from the Lord His children have the privilege to call upon God as our Father. Does a non-Christian have that privilege? Can they say, my Father? He's not their Father. So does that mean, I'm asking questions at this point. We're going to come to some conclusion in a minute. But does that mean that God doesn't hear that person? Is there a difference between God hearing someone and God answering someone? There's a difference, right? Even with His own children, right? Are there conditions for even our prayers to be heard? 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open to their prayers. What if I'm not righteous? What if I turn against God? Are there conditions for my own prayers to be heard, or my own prayers to be answered? God says that there are these conditions. We looked last week at these two examples. Saul of Tarsus was praying in Acts chapter 9, and God knew about it. Was Saul a Christian when he's praying? He's not praying, but who told Ananias, behold, he is praying? The Lord said that to him. How did he know? If God does not hear a sinner when they pray, how would he know that? The other example we looked at was Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Where Cornelius, we know that he was a just and an upright man. Bible says he prayed to God always. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and then in verse 31, there's the record of what these angels say to him. They say, your prayers have come up before God, come up as a memorial before God. And then as Cornelius recounts what that angel said to him, the angel said, your prayer has been heard. Wait a minute, he's not a Christian. How is God hearing Cornelius' prayer when he's not a Christian? Did the angel say, your prayer has been heard? I mean, you look in your Bible, And he says, your prayer has been heard. The rest of the verse says, and your alms have been remembered before the Lord. So God knew about him. Tim, you got the invitation tonight. You know that? Good. Okay. Now, just, hi, how you doing? Okay. How did God know that? Cornelius was not a Christian. We know that because what the angel told him is send for Peter that he may come and tell you how to be saved. Did God hear Cornelius? Did God know that Cornelius was searching for truth? Did God Cornelius know that Cornelius was wanting to know how to be saved? Apparently, because what was the response to his prayer? Send for Peter so that you can know how to be saved. How did God know that these guys were praying? He's omniscient. What'd you say?
He saw him.
He saw him. Does God know all things? That's going to be one of our points in a minute. How did he know they were praying? How did he know what they were praying for? How did he know what their needs were? God has to know these things. Let me very quickly. Here's the two slides I wanted to get to, and I got 11 minutes. Biblical principles that we need to see about honest seekers for the truth. Number one, did God use wicked men to fulfill tasks for him in the Bible? If God would use wicked men to fulfill his tasks, obviously he knew those wicked men, he knew their hearts, he knew that they were not for him, but yet through his providence he's still using them. Is it so hard for us to believe that God would know that a person is seeking the truth? That's just human judgment, supposition for you to think about. Oh, these are kind of small for you to read, aren't they? Oh, well. If a man wanted to find God and to find the truth, should he not pray to God? God, please help me find the truth. Should he not pray that? Would God hear? Again, those two are questions. Now, what does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says, and we saw it, 3 weeks ago? God is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. How much does he know? He knows everything. His Psalm 147 in verse 5 says that his understanding is infinite. He knows everything. Would he know if there is someone seeking the truth? And if he knew that, would he care about it? And if he cared about it, would he, through his providence, try to do something about it? He's omniscient. He absolutely knows everything. Number two, Acts chapter 17 tells us that man is to look for God. That's why God created him. He wants man to look for him. How's a non-Christian supposed to look for God? Now, obviously, Romans 1 and verse 20, he can know that there is a God. How's he supposed to look for him if he's not supposed to ask this God to help me find him? Bible says in that same passage that God is not far from any man. Does God want all men to find him? Or is he hiding somewhere? The very reason. He wanted man to find him so much. He wanted man to find the truth so much. He wanted man to be saved so much. That love and desire was so intense that he sent his son to die on the cross. That's how much he wants people to be saved. Remember this, not that he's going to change the conditions of salvation for somebody. Not that someone does not have to follow the same plan of salvation today that they followed in the book of Acts. But if God is so desirous for man to be saved, would he know if that person is looking for him? And if he knows if that person is looking for him, would God providentially do something to get the truth via teacher into his life? 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7 says that God looks upon men's hearts. Is that true? Whose hearts does he look upon? He looks upon men's hearts. Think about, we talked about the two examples of Saul and Cornelius. What about the example of the man from Macedonia in Acts 16? Do you think that was a real man? I mean, Paul saw him in a vision. This man from Macedonia. And what was this man from Macedonia doing? It's in the present tense. He was in the present tense pleading for what? Come over here and help us. Is that a real man? Was there really a person in Macedonia that was wanting the truth? Man, I got 5 minutes. Was there really a man in Macedonia that was looking for the truth? What? Maybe even a woman, right? I mean, he found Lydia when he got there. So is there really somebody looking for the truth? So much so that God knows about it. So much so, what does God do? Miraculously, obviously, now we're beyond providence, miraculously shows a vision to Paul that, hey, there's somebody over here. So much, you remember where Paul was when he got that vision? We don't have time for this. He's in the city of Troas, right? How did he get to Troas? Because as he's traveling through Asia, what does the Holy Spirit do? Forbids him to go here, forbids him to go here, forbids him to go here. Why? Going to all the world, preach the gospel. Why can't I go into Bithynia? Why can't I go down here? Because God's got you on a line, buddy, to head over to Macedonia. Why? Because there's a man there pleading, come over here and help us. Did God know there were people searching for the truth in Macedonia? Was God going to do something about it? Did God know that Gorman Erickson was looking for the truth? Did God providentially work in Gorman's life to get things to transpire so that he could get the truth in his life? Does God know that people want the truth? Is he going to do something? If a man wants to find the truth, here's this point. Hearing God hearing that person's cry, even that person's prayer, that's the least God's going to do. You could almost say that hearing that person's prayer is almost incidental. God knows that person's heart even before they cry out, come over here and help us. God knows that person's heart even before he says, God, please help me find the truth. Is that true? I mean, if God knows that person's heart that he's really looking for the truth, what if that person doesn't pray? Here's somebody really looking for the truth, but what if they don't ever say, God, please help me find it? Are they stuck? Oh, well, you never asked. God knows their heart. And for sure, he would hear them if they ever asked. Yeah. Yeah, God knows ahead of time when somebody's going to be looking. His timeline, she says, is not our timeline. Was that true about the Ethiopian eunuch? Did God know he would be searching before that man knew he would be searching? Yeah, so much so, he said, hey, Philip, you know, this guy hadn't even left Jerusalem yet, but you got to hightail it and get down there. Yeah, even before he started reading through Isaiah, you know, days and days and days and days before, God was working to make that come about. God will assist, here's the bottom line, God will assist that genuinely searching man in finding the truth if he really wants it. That's what John 7:17 teaches. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. For what? He shall be filled. What if that's a non-Christian hungering and thirsting after righteousness? What is God's promise? He's going to be filled. He's going to find it. What does that person have to have? That person has to have a love and a desire to find the truth. Amen. What if he doesn't have a love and a desire to find the truth? Well, and God's going to let that person believe whatever they want to believe. What do I got? 1 minute, right, Buzz? Oh, I got 2 minutes. I got 2.5 minutes. Here's the last slide. Just to make sure we understand this. When we talk about, does God hear a non-Christian when they pray? There's a vast difference between saying God hears a non-Christian when they pray and he saves them when they pray the sinner's prayer. Vast difference between saying that and saying that God knows the heart of a person who's searching for truth and he will work providentially to bring the truth into that person's life. Now, there's a vast difference between saying those two things. There's also a vast difference between saying God will work providentially to bring the truth into that person's life. There's a vast difference in saying that and then saying that God is going to force that person to obey the truth. Those are completely two different. And we're not saying this either. God will work providentially to provide opportunities and circumstances for somebody to hear the truth, but he's not going to impose on that person's free will. You can believe it or not. And sometimes people hear the truth even after they've been searching for it, hear the truth, but they don't have that love for the truth. They don't believe it, and they don't obey it. So we're not saying God forces them, nor are we saying that God saves by prayer, because the Bible won't allow it. The New Testament will not allow it. And we can be perfectly comfortable saying that God knows the heart of man and their desire to know the truth and not say that He saves them by means of prayer. There's no reason to deny that God hears the prayer of a non-Christian just to prove that He doesn't save by prayer. We don't have to go to that point to say that God's not going to hear them. Any questions or comments? I know the second bell rang. I wanted to get to this point like 2 minutes ago. Well, if you got, Joe?
I just like the prayer.
Well, it's trying to look at it from an objective point of view. And really, if you have any questions, we got people coming in. If you've got any questions, we'll bring them up next time. Get your songbooks and look at 572.